The book of Isaiah, please, in chapter 6. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 6. Is everybody there? Glory to God. Starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full with his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" That's powerful. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and return and be healed." Now that's powerful, because that's a revelation of healing right there. He said, you know what? You've got to be able to see, hear, and understand or receive. And that's when you get healed. Does everybody understand that? In other words, here's an area where it's not about the manifestation physically. It's already been done. This is where we're walking in that arena of faith, aren't we? But one of the things that, you know, even when God says go, we walk in faith, don't we? But God says faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. So unless you're hearing, you're not walking in faith. Has everybody got it? You're either walking in assumption or walking by guessing or walking by feeling or walking by seeing. But unless you're walking in the area of faith, you must hear God. And hearing God is important. But one of the things he says, "Whom shall I send?" See, he's looking for someone to send. Now, there's a process before being sent. Amen? Isaiah was sent, wasn't he? But before you can be sent, you first must be called. Amen? You first must be called. Now, when the Lord was giving me this about an hour ago, that's why it's on this pad. Hallelujah. Thank God for electric shavers. Hallelujah. Praise God. When he was putting this on my heart, he was bringing me up to the present. And what I mean by up to the present, so many times we're caught up in all things that pertain to the past. Anything that pertains to you pertains to the past. Hello? Do you know what I'm saying? When it begins, in other words, when you begin to hold on to certain things or whatever, it's bringing the past up to the present or bringing you back to the past. Amen. And what the Lord was saying, I want to bring you up to the present. In other words, I want to bring you up to the present with me. I'm looking for someone to send. I've called, but nobody's listening. I'm looking for someone. Where are my laborers? Where are those who are willing to expressed my character in them. Who is willing to go for me? You know, there's a powerful video that's out, that's been out for years. It's called The Seventh Sign. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And it's fictional, but it shows about Christ coming during tribulation. And he puts all the stuff of changing tribulation on this one person. He says, that's all you need to have is hope. But the whole time, as this girl, that was everything was put on her, she began to have visions and so forth. She was taken in the spirit. And she'd always see Jesus getting beat. And the voice would come to her and say, would you die for me? Would you die for me? Would you die for me? And in the beginning, it was like, no, until she finally was able to see, until she finally was able to hear, till she was finally able to understand. And then she said, I will die for you. And that's one of the things. See, God is not going to send you until you get to that place where you say, I'm willing to die for you. Does everybody understand that? Unless you're in the place where you're willing to die for Him, you will not be sent. It's not about your agenda. Let me share something with you. Everybody in a certain time in their walk as a believer gets ahead of God. Hello? God never interrupts Himself. He doesn't tell you something without finishing something. Does everybody understand that? He doesn't tell you something without finishing something. He doesn't interrupt Himself. That's why many people go ahead and they wonder why things don't work out. And they would swear it was from God. You know, you can hear your own desires too. You can see your own desires. Oh, yeah, the demons can speak to more than one person. And they can give you confirmation through another person too. That's why God places offices in the body of Christ, doesn't He? Hello? That's why He gives His word. See, God is looking for those who He can send, who are willing to die for Him. See, if you're still fighting for your life, you're not willing to die for Him. If you're still holding on to things of the past, you're not willing to die for Him. If you have hope in any area other than Him, you're not willing to die for Him. I mean, literally, are you willing to lose your life for Him? And that's those He's looking to send. Everybody with me? But before you can be sent, you must be what? Called. Called. That's invited. Called. Go to Acts 26. Acts 26. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, tonight's teaching is, whom shall I send? You know, we get everybody that says, yeah, I'll go. But when it comes time to go, man, they ain't ready to go. Yeah, I'll do whatever it takes. Right, okay. Hallelujah. Acts 26 and verse 12. You kidding? If I can't do it my way, I'm not going at all. Hallelujah. Acts 26 and verse 12. Is everybody there? While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, he's talking about Saul, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a what?
Witness.
Both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That is a powerful, powerful scripture. Powerful. So the Lord revealed himself to Saul. Now many people think, well, I need to have an encounter with God. I need to see him before I can get sent. No. That's not what it's about. Jesus reveals himself to you when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hello? That's the revealing of Jesus. He draws you so that you can accept his seed. His seed gets imparted in you, which is salvation. Then he baptizes you and bursts that seed where you become a new creation. Is everybody with me? Now our purpose is to maintain, God has given us the tools to maintain that righteous seed, that new birth. It's like a child that must be protected. Amen? So he's given, now this is very powerful because if you really think about it, you're supposed to be protecting that child. Hello? You're supposed to be protecting it just like a mother who is pregnant with child, so you and I are the same way. There's another child in us called his son. His child. King's kid. You and I are to protect that child. Does everybody understand that? And the Holy Spirit is going to express himself and minister and mentor you so that you learn how to protect that child till the day you leave and that child goes home. That's you. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Now listen. So the Lord expresses himself to Saul, and he says, listen, Saul, there's something I want you to do. In other words, he rescued him not to sit on the pew. He rescued him, hello, not to be just a doorkeeper. He rescued him, amen, come on, what? To open the eyes of those who are blinded, who've been caught up by the power of Satan. He rescued them so that he could turn them over to the power of God and draw them. He says, for I have appeared to you for this purpose to make you a what? Minister and a what? A minister and a witness. Hello. Minister to who? Him. And a witness to who? The world. Does everybody understand that? Well, you and I have been rescued to become ministers to him and a witness to the world. Why? Because he's looking for someone to send. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ezekiel chapter 1. So the purpose of being called is to be sent, isn't it? Ezekiel chapter 1. Hallelujah. Are you warm? Man, it's cooking in here. Turn on that AC, will you? Is this on? Yeah. Praise God. Glory, hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Verse 28. Would you read it with me? Like the appearance of a rainbow on a cloud on a rainy day, so is the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I am what? Sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I am, in other words, unrepentant. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yes, they will know that a prophet has come among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them. Now listen, this is powerful. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside. And written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll, go, and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. Oh, hallelujah. What is he saying? Eat and speak. Amen. You know, there's things that you and I must get into the Spirit and be able to absorb and eat. In other words, things of the Spirit must be food to me and you. What he's doing right here, he's calling. Let me share something with you. It doesn't matter whether people are going to hear or not. Amen? When God says, go, you go. But first, he always has preparation before you go. You will be sent. Everything is in preparation. Amen? Remember, God never interrupts himself. Never. So in this area of being sent, he said, listen, here, I'm going to train you up first. I'm going to send you out to a place, but first of all, I want you to eat the scroll. In this scroll, God is training him, teaching him the woes and the lamentations. He's showing him the things of mankind and according to the rebellion of man. He's showing him the area of Satan has taken captive his people and where they mourn and they woe. Is everybody with me? You know, people are bound. The first thing that happens to an individual when they rebel is they go into captivity where there's deception, right? You could talk someone to your pink in the face and it doesn't matter because you can't counsel a demon. You can't counsel a demon. The only thing you can do is cast it out. And the demon's not going to leave unless the person is willing to submit. Hello? No, I'm not saying that you can't cast a demon out when God says, I want you to cast a demon out, whether that person wants it or not. Because when it's directed by the Lord, you know. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. See, they wouldn't hear, but they still had to go, regardless of what. In other words, they were not concerned about the reactions of people. They knew what God is telling them what to do. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In other words, we can't allow emotions to interfere with when God starts telling us what's happening. Go to Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1. Glory. So we see Isaiah was sent, right? Paul was sent. Ezekiel was sent. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, I formed you in the womb I knew before I formed you in the womb. I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Hello. Some people say, well, you know, I'm too young or I'm too old. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. In other words, don't look at yourself. For you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what you see, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Now we're back to seeing, aren't we? Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. See, his word is not performed until you can see. Hello? And the word of the Lord came to me the second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north calamity shall break forth, all inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am coming. All the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord, they shall come, and each one set his throne. At the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls, all around, and against all the cities of Judah, I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar, a bronze walls around against the whole land and against the kings of Judah, against its princes and its priests and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to what? To deliver you. Do you understand he's speaking that to us also? Amen? One of the things that we must always do is stay in position. Now, the devil's always trying to get us out of position, isn't he? This is what you and I are called to do. Has everybody got that? This is what we're called to do, to be sent. Not to send ourselves, but to be sent. Amen? Acts 13. Oh, hallelujah. Acts 13 and verses, oh, hallelujah, 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have what? Called them. What was he getting ready to do? Send them. Now we know that Barnabas and Saul were with them for a while, weren't they? Amen? They didn't get sent overnight. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, then sent them what? They sent them away. Does everybody get it? At a time to be sent after preparation of God, no man sends you. He does. Why? Because didn't he say the Holy Spirit called them? Right? Man doesn't send you. God does. I think that's one of the major problems. God sends us, not man. Oh, hallelujah. Paul and Barnabas were sent. Go to Ezekiel 33. Whom shall I send? The question is, who will die for him. Ezekiel 33. Verse 8. You know, it's like he's bringing this to the up to the present with him. It's almost as though the spirit of prophecy is falling on his people. Not that the spirit of prophecy is not there, because the Bible tells us that anyone who has the testimony of Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy is there. The Bible tells us that his kingdom is built on the prophets and apostles and so forth. One of the things that's happening right now is God is putting us in a place where we begin to warn individuals, no matter what, where he's pouring out his boldness. You know, time is running out. It's running out. We're on a search and rescue mission right now, no matter what. You may have agendas, but we have to lay our agendas down. It's not about our agenda. It's not about our desire. It's about an eternal walk. That's what it's about. Our whole purpose is to expand the kingdom as quick as possible. As quick as possible. Everything as quick as possible. God is saying to his children, move, 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 move. So there's laziness and sluggishness and too much worldliness, which is slowing individuals down. Too much desire of fulfilling one's life, thinking it's God. When God's saying, you don't have a life. You know, it's something I always share with people. If a servant of the Lord does not have a life, a child of God does. Hello. Because that child must mature. So it becomes a servant, so it doesn't have a life. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In Ezekiel 33 and verse 8, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, read it with me. And you do not speak to warn that wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Hello? In other words, we're accountable, aren't we? Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. In other words, you've done what you're supposed to do. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? So the Lord's even saying, listen, he loves the wicked too, doesn't he? Those are his children. They're just being used, aren't they? So he's looking for someone to send, to stand up in boldness, to declare when they see wicked. But it has to be led by the Lord, doesn't it? Amen? Because the Bible tells us not to throw our pearls before swine, lest man trample them up. This is where the importance of your walk is. This is the importance of where your relationship is. This is the importance of what you're hearing. All of these take practice, don't they? You're not going to be perfect in everything you do. You're perfect in him, but not what you do. He's perfect in you of what he does, but we're not perfect in what we do. Amen? Don't ask me to repeat that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So our purpose is to warn, to rescue. It says God has no pleasure in those who are going to die without knowing him, right? Amen. Warn them. Warn them. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. This is a word for now. This is a word for today. This is brought up to the present. This is a word for tomorrow. This is a word for ever, right now. The Lord's heart is grieving because time is running out and not enough are going to be rescued. First Corinthians 9. Hallelujah. Don't get caught up in your circumstance, your desires. Get caught up in Him. 1 Corinthians 9, 14, please. Would you read it with me? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. Far be it that we should preach, but we can't walk. Now, you know we can't walk it, right? But in relationship, He walks it for us. Because you and I do not have the strength to do it. So your relationship is going to reflect on how you walk, isn't it? How you talk. How your reactions are. There's what's going to manifest your relationship. Those are the fruits of your relationship, your conduct and how you act. And it's not how you act when you're having all goosebumps all over and you're all in the presence of God and having a good time. It's when you're not. We got real quiet in here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 15, we'll continue to go forward. Everybody's checking themselves out. Oh, man, how did I do it today? But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than to anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe is me if I do not. Listen, you know, one of the things that, it's like, how can we sit still? How can we not want to? How could we not desire to express Christ, not only in our conduct and actions, but the words of all the things He has done for us? I am indebted eternally for what He has done for me. I am indebted. I can't go back. Go back to what? You know? Go back to what? The Bible tells us that anything that we've been delivered from and we begin to build on it again, it's going to call an abomination. Far be it that we should even desire to go back. Amen? We are indebted. Not that we owe Him anything, because He doesn't want us to be indebted to Him. But we are indebted, aren't we? There's a yearning in us to want to be able to repay Him. And we do that by expressing Christ through us in our conduct, in our words, and in our death. Oh, hallelujah. We must preach. We must go. And we must be sent. Amen? Go to 2 Corinthians 5. It's a word of now. The Lord is saying, whom shall I send? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 18. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? 5:18. Hallelujah. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were what? Pleading. Let me tell you, He is pleading now. He is pleading with us. Let the preparation continue. Yield to my preparation. Don't buck me. Let me finish what I've started. He is pleading with us. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It is the word of now. Amen? We are called to minister reconciliation, aren't we? Go to Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. Will you die for Him? Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Would you read it with me, first four verses? Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah. This is the first book. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country from your family. Oh, hallelujah. And from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. 75 years old. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't look at his age, did he? For those of you who are getting ready to be 90. Hallelujah. Don't look at your age. That has got nothing to do with your walk. Hello? Don't look at your circumstance. It's got nothing to do with your walk. So Abram, who was Abraham, he was sent to be blessed, wasn't he? God was sending him. He said, man, I'm going to send you because that's how I'm going to bless you. Get out of there and let me bless you. Amen? Get out of yourself and let me bless you. Get away from your family. Let me bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now this is when the Lord appeared to Moses in verse 6. He said, moreover, he said, I am the Lord, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. In other words, God has seen the oppression of his people who are bound in the world. Egypt represents the world. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place that the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, and the Hivites and the Jezebites and the any kind of bite. Hello. In verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will what? Send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is powerful. Listen, I mean, really think about this. God comes down. He comes down. I mean, he came down, man. He came from the spirit realm and came down in front of Moses. God came down because he heard the cries of his people. He came down and expressed himself to a man. He came down because of the desire of his people. He came down to rescue them, but he didn't, did he? What did he do? He sent a man. Hello? Think about that. God came down and he sent a man. Is he sending you? Yeah. Amen. But look how long Moses was in preparation. 40 years. Well, we haven't got that much time. That's why we have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. So God came down. Everybody say, God came down.
God came down.
And sent a man.
God came down.
God came down. And sent me.
Sent me.
Ooh. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Judges 6. So he sent Moses. Judges chapter 6. In verse 11, would you read it with me? Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joaz the Abizite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." That's pretty wild, huh? Man, Gideon was, knees were knocking. He was afraid of the Midianites. He was trying to hide from them, wasn't he? An angel of the Lord came to him and said, "You man of valor." He was like going, "What? Who are you talking to?" I'm surprised he didn't dive in himself, you know, and bury himself. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all those miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us in the hand of the Midianites." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Oh, man, he was looking at all the things in the natural realm. I am the weakest. My clan is the weakest. There's only about 20 of us. You know, and there's a gazillion of them. And the Lord said to them, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat those boneheads. No, the Midianites as one man. As what? One man. Whoa. You ever hear of the one-man band? Sounds pretty good when they play, don't they? It just takes one willing heart, doesn't it? One willing heart, willing to deny himself, willing to die, and have a desire to want to be sent. That's all it takes is one. One to change many lives. It just takes one. Oh, hallelujah. Then he said to him, if now I found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. In other words, he was asking confirmation, wasn't he? In other words, he just didn't take something and run with it, did he? He wanted confirmation. You know, if more people would wait for confirmation, hello, things would be a lot easier. They wouldn't get themselves in trouble. They wouldn't rebel, and they wouldn't speak to things and so forth and do the things and get all kinds of this and this and that, whatever. If they would just wait and get confirmation and seek counsel, which is very important. Gideon, he was being sent. Amen? Look at, he didn't look at his frailties or weaknesses. He didn't look at, even though he had fear. One of the things God is trying to say, it's not you anyways. See, the whole time God is always asking us to do something, we're always looking at us, aren't we? The first thing the devil does is have you look at you. You know, on the anointing services and so forth, I get attacked tremendously before the service. And even during the service until the anointing really hits and then all yokes are broke. I mean, I can go into the service with pain all over my body. During the service, I'm fine. And after the service, the pain comes right back. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, why didn't the Lord heal you? It's not my question to ask him. It's up to him. He meets all of my needs according to his riches and glory. See, I'm going there for him. Amen? See, when you're going there, when you're doing, and listen, the devil hits me in all kinds of areas. Man, you didn't do this enough. You didn't do, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? And the word always comes to me by the Lord saying, it's not you, guy. So I just throw it all up in the air. It ain't me anyways. I'm just showing up. See, this is the area where people fall. They stumble over their own stuff. They stumble over their own knowledge, their intellect, because they're trying to figure out what they're going to say, how they're going to say it, how does this, what if this, what if that? Well, man, what if? Why don't you just get out of the way and let God be God and quit trying to figure it all out? Because if you want God to move through you, you must get the understanding that it's not you. Him. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 22. Glorious. You know, I get many people come up to me and say, man, what are you going to do about this? Or what are you going to do about that? I don't know. But I will. Amen? Well, what about the ministry? And what about this? It's not mine anyways. I didn't start this ministry. It's the Lord's. He's just the one that said, go do this. It's his ministry. Amen? Is everybody with me? See, we've got to come in that arena with our life. It's not my life anyways. I don't have a life. My life is in Christ. I no longer have a life. Amen? Oh, people fight for that little flesh life. Matthew 22, And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables in verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call. To what? Call. Because you got to be called before you can be sent. And you got to complete your calling, your training and your preparation before God will send you. And sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out the other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his business, another to his family. And arrest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murders, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited or called were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment on. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, to the who? The servants, those who didn't have a life. He said, what? Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him in the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Read 14 with me. For many are called, but few finish. Many are called, but few finish or chosen. Go to Jeremiah 7. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 8. You know, when a servant of the Lord does not have a life, as I shared. One of the things that cause people to fall or stumble and get caught up is because they're always trying to fix something. They're always trying to fix their life. They're trying to fix things. And God has not sent them to fix something. Does everybody understand that? See, anything that's done in the flesh is sin, because it's done without faith. The Bible tells us that anything that is done without faith is sin. So everything must be done in faith. That means everything that you and I do must be told to us to do, because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
That's relationship, isn't it? But you better make sure who you're listening to. Jeremiah 7 and verse 8, would you read it with me? Behold, you trust in what? Lying words that cannot profit. They only cause trouble. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do these all of these abominations? That's where people take advantage of this freedom of liberty in the spirit. Has this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord. But go now to my place which is in Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. And now because you have done all these things, says the Lord, I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear. I called you, but you did not what? You did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house which is called by my name and which you trust, and to this place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, the whole prosperity of Ephraim. Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or a prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Whew. They wouldn't listen, would they? Go to Proverbs 1. You know, that verse also reminds me of those who worship Sister Mary. I couldn't let that go. They worship Sister Mary. Hello? They're deceived because they don't realize they have access right to God. They think they need to go to a man. And they worship the mother of the God-man and don't worship the God who created the man. Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Proverbs 1. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
To God be the glory. Proverbs 1 and verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in chief concourse and openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Verse 23. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the reverence or fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Oh, that's a powerful scripture. Powerful. Praise God. Go to Ephesians 4. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Ephesians chapter 4. Glorious. Whom shall I send? Everybody there? Ephesians 4. First three verses. Read it with me, please. Oh, to God be the glory. Remember, God is not looking at age. I don't care how young or how old you are. It has nothing to do with it. First of all, it's not you. It's Him. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, what? Beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all what? Lowliness and gentleness. Hello. And long-suffering. bearing with one another in what? Love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's how we're supposed to keep our calling, aren't we? Amen. See if he looks and finds us worthy of our calling. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 26. Everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So, you know, how much you know has nothing to do with your calling. I don't care how many Bible studies you come to. I don't care how many colleges you've gone in. And I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how much you know of the Word and how much you don't know of the Word. It's about relationship. Hello? It's about relationship. See, because where there's true relationship, there's true surrender. Where there's true surrender, there's true submission. Where there's true submission, there's true reverence. And where there's true reverence, there's the character of Christ. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That what? No flesh should glory in His presence. Say that again. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Luke 16. Verse 10. Would you read it with me? Luke 16, verse 10. He who is what? Faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the righteous, in the unrighteous, mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what another man's, with another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. You can't serve two masters. 2 Corinthians 4. Whom shall I send? Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1, let's read the first six verses together, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is God, the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So you see, it's important because what the Bible says that you and I are walking with the walking epistle, right? Remember, the Lord called us to be what? Ministers and what? Witnesses. Amen? Ministers and witnesses. So you and I are the walking epistle. So if we're the walking epistle, the word gospel means message of truth. So you're the walking truth, aren't you? Wherever you are, whatever's going on, your conduct and your words can either save someone or assist them to go in the wrong way. Hello? Mark 16, glory to God. In verse 16, Mark 16 and verse 16. Oh, hallelujah. Would you all read it with me? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And they drink anything deadly or by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hello. That's a servant of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. These are signs. Signs should always follow servants in one way or another. Whether you're leaving good fruit, whatever it is, there should be some type of impartation of righteousness, of the righteous seed into someone, wherever we go, no matter what. I want to close at Revelation 22. Verse 12, would you read it with me? And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen? Whom shall I send? Remember this, before he can be sent, he must be called. The Lord is pleading with us to lay down our stuff, to no longer have our own life, but his life. Amen? Time is running out. Riches will not rescue you. Hello. You can't buy the anointing. You catch it. Hello? Jesus is willing to pour out His Spirit on us. He poured out His life, and we need to pour out our life. Amen? So we can have the life from above. Father, we thank Your word tonight. We thank You for what You've done. Lord, let this be imparted, Lord, that we would be found worthy to be sent in whatever area it may be, Lord. Whether it be in our homes, our workplaces, to the corner store, wherever it is, Lord, wherever You're sending us. We ask that we'd have a heart that focuses to You in obedience, that we have ears to hear, Lord, what You're saying. In any area where there's familiar, deceiving, seducing spirits in any way that would be trying to send us without You sending us, we break their powers off of us in the name of Jesus. For we want to walk with You, Lord. We want to know Your way. We want to maintain our love for You, knowing that Your love for us never ceases. Father, establish us for Your glory and be magnified in us and through us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.